Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
Welcome, brains, to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is the Spizzot. This is the place right up in here. The place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we have Stephanie Sharoni from Australia, a creatrix queen, a transformologist. I'm going to ask her, what has creatrix done for her? What is it doing for the people that she's working with? How has she grown and developed? And some fun stuff. And how in the world does she get that pink hair? Because she's rocking it. All right. Welcome her to the edge. How you doing, Stephanie?
Oh, so well. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I can't complain about nothing. You know, I'm just trying to deal with this COVID and all the variances and trying to get my head around it. People have been so unhappy, isolated, and depressed, on top of all the other things that they have been, as you so politely said, crushing down. They've been really kind of under the weather these days. So how you been? You doing okay?
Yeah, doing well. I'm definitely feeling that, and a lot of people around me sort of feeling that too. I think it's like the world has sort of all had the same situation. Mm-hmm. So it's like something that's, although it's very stressful, we're also, there's that level of understanding and empathy that we're all sort of going through the same thing, which, you know, is a positive way to look at it, just sort of understanding that we all are struggling, and that kindness and just sort of being there for others is just so important right now.
Well, it's beyond that. You know, this is God speaking with the megaphone. I don't know what your faith or religious doctrine is, but I believe in a supreme being. And speaking with the megaphone is saying, world, stop. Just stop. Pump your brakes. Mm. People don't take time to stop. They don't self-actualize what's going on. They diversify and manipulate and scrutinize other individuals to bring them into that same place of misery. Because, you know, misery loves company.
Yeah.
Well, but I told them, you can't come over to my house.
The door is locked.
So you are very active on social media. You know, you do some great little TikToks and some great Instagrams. I love that. TikTok is not my PB&J, but I like to watch them. And you really get to the heart of it, and you really do some deep diving with people. You help them uncover some stuff. Tell us a little bit about your story, your journey, and your truth.
I was always a very shy person that had not much confidence or level of self-worth. I had put my self-worth into others and what they thought of me more than I thought about myself. I was bullied quite a lot when I was younger, and so I believed that it wasn't acceptable to be myself, and I had to pretend. And so I pretended every day of my life the way that I thought that everyone expected me to be. In every situation, I would think about everything that I was going to say, and then I would be so nervous whenever I would be speaking to people, and then I would beat myself up afterwards trying to analyze everything I'd said, and I should have said this, and I should have said that, and I should have done this, and it was absolutely exhausting. And I also developed, I had anxiety, depression, I developed chronic pain. And I think it was my body's way of just saying, enough, enough. You need to find your confidence. You need to break free of the societal pressures and find out how you can move past that so that you can actually enjoy living. Because I was suffering with, I felt like I was just suffering and under it. And I was just treading water trying to get through life the way that everyone expected me to be. And
that's odd because when I look at you, your outer exterior, outer shell is flawless. You're pretty. You got a beautiful smile. You look perky. I really can't see you being depressed and anxiety ridden. And again, everybody is different. You know, I get it. When you say bully, what do they do to you? Just give me some examples of bullying, because some people are empaths. And they are hypersensitive. You know, you can say anything to them and they'll start crying. There are people that are physically attacked. There are people that are manipulated. There are people that are abused. There are people that are on drugs. What was your bullying experience like? Did they push you into the locker? Did they steal your lunch money? What did they do to you?
No, it was more that psychological. So I am or was a severely sensitive child. So anything that anyone said to me cut really deep. And I was also a bit of a tomboy. So I was picked on for that. Like I cut my hair short and I was picked on for that. And I liked to do things that boys like to do, like playing in the trees and stuff like that. And it was like society was trying to fit me into a box, and because I wasn't in that box, I was just weird and different. And it just sort of over time would pick away, like I wasn't included in things, and people would ignore me and pretend that I didn't exist, or it was like people were trying to show me that I didn't belong. And it was just all these little things over time from year three. And then that sort of carried on into high school and then into a really abusive relationship. And I think once you have that belief about yourself, others can see it and they can prey on it. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of opens you up to being even more vulnerable because you don't have that level of self-worth and you you're more susceptible, and the evil people out there, you know, the ones that can see it, it's like they make it their job to find those people that they can see it and sort of can smell it a mile off. So I found myself in that sort of situation that was quite abusive.
And you didn't have a defense mechanism. You didn't have anything to block it. Where are your parents in all of this? And do you have siblings?
Yeah, so I have my mum and dad split up when I was seven, and that was sort of the time then when we moved and got to a new school, and then that's where everything sort of started. Before that, I was just oblivious to anyone and anything and was just living my own way, didn't have an idea of people perceived me to be a certain way or expected me to be a certain way. I was just doing my own thing, really just this free-spirited, happy kid. And then so they split up, divorced, we moved, started a new school, and then that all sort of happened. I have three siblings, and so I have a little brother, and I was sort of more of a, you know, tomboy, like to play with him, and then two sisters as well, and they were sort of more of like the girly, normal sort of girls. And
yeah, hyper femme.
Yeah.
So how did your mother deal with this? And I say that, you know, not placing blame, but just trying to figure out the pieces there, because she's raising three kids by herself.
Four.
So she's trying four kids by herself. Yeah. Now she's trying to put food over on the table, a roof over your head, and try to be a voice of reason. So did she miss it? You know, or yeah. Were you in that pecking order to where you know, okay, well, you can pretty much take care of yourself, take care of your little brother, or your, you know, go ask your sister. What was the dynamics like?
She was very much there for us and wanted the best for us and did the best job she possibly could. And I think just all of the things together, so she had a lot of stress with like the divorce, and it was very messy. And for years and years and years, the dynamics between mum and dad and playing against each other were awful. Then, you know, with four kids, I was sort of in the middle, you know, me and my sister, and I it was always because we were a family. It wasn't so specific as to know that you felt like it wasn't always about you, so you couldn't just make things about you. Even just understanding that how much things were affecting me, I don't think I realized how sensitive I was and how bullied I was and how emotionally like stressing that was for me. I think I just thought that was normal and I had all these other stresses. I think the reason it affected me a lot was that mum and dad split up and I felt abandoned from that point. And so then me trying to fit in life was very important to me. So then not being liked and not feeling like I could fit in was the last thing I wanted to feel. So yeah, I think I was hypersensitive to it just throughout, because I just felt safe when I was accepted, right? That was, yeah, the most important thing.
When you felt that you were accepted, because you said that you were in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was your aha moment and said, you know what? I've had enough of this. All of this is not what I want. What was your aha moment? What was your awakening?
Basically, after a few years worth of chronic pain on top of everything else, I was in a great relationship with my husband. We'd been married for years. I was in a job that, was what I thought was a good job. I had, friends and family. I sort of had everything, and I was feeling that, like, why am I so depressed? Like, why am I so anxious? Why? I should be happy, right? I should be thankful. There's people in such worse situations, but I just can't feel, I feel broken. And I would just cry myself to sleep. And I remember sending a message to my husband one night just saying, I'm not okay. And I tried a lot of things, and I ended up, I remember I was at a psychologist once and she just said, you just have to accept this. And it was like every fiber of my being was just screaming, no, I'm not. And it took me quite a while from there to figure out what I needed for me personally to not accept how I was and to move past it. But I knew that there was more for me and that I didn't want to struggle with this my whole life. And that when I look into my future, I didn't want to be this little old lady that had just really given up and struggled and suffered for the rest of her life.
So you never wanted to feel like you just existed. You wanted to live.
Yeah. Yeah. So like you not wanted through... just to suffer and exist.
So you walked through the door of Creatrix. What did that open up for you? Tell me a little bit about that.
So transmology for me is just, it just changed my entire life. So I just perceived myself a certain way. I perceived my life to be a certain way and I couldn't see it any different. So it just changed the way I looked at myself and how I felt about me. And that gave me that I used to think that confidence was like an outwardly overbearing, loud presence. But the confidence for me that I have now is just a really calm, pure, unshakable belief in myself that I'm a decent person, I belong, and no matter where I am, I feel like I have value. And that to me was, I just didn't have that in myself. So it gave me that, and it gave me the ability to question my life and my life choices and what am I here for and what do I want? Because I was doing everything by the book. I was trying to follow the rules of life or the perceived things, do this. And I was getting pressured, to have kids and all of these things. And I couldn't distinguish whether it was because I wanted these things or whether it was because society said this is how you're supposed to live. And we lived in a town that we didn't really like just because our parents lived there and then we bought a house. And after I've gone through transmology, I realized like I'm only doing this because of what other people want, and we don't even really like where we live. So we just packed up our lives and traveled around Australia for 12 months, no plan, and just left. And that really gave me the time to figure out, okay, well, what do I want to add to my life? Because I'd never looked at my life as being able to bring things in and what do I want, because my cup was so full of like all the anxious, awful feelings that I felt like I was overflowing and drowning. Whereas when all of that stress was cleared out and I could see my life belongs to me and I had the belief to create what I wanted to create and be who I wanted to be, it was like, okay, great. What can I fill? What can I fill this cup with now? And then go on from there and figure that out, which was helping other women feel that way, was obviously my next step. Because for me,
so how did you find Creatrix?
It's a pretty funny story. I met Maz. So Maz is the lady who created
Maz the process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Institute of Women International. I've met her years and years back when I was a teenager and I was in that really bad relationship. And we just had been connected. We must have still been connected on Facebook years and years later. And I remember she inspired me so much. Just, she wasn't even doing that when I met her. She was in direct selling. But I just remember the way that she was so encouraging and so inspiring, and I just wanted to be around it. She was just looking for someone years later to do some video editing, and I really enjoy that. I'm not a professional, but I love doing that. And she said, I just need some quick turnaround stuff before and after a process that I've created. And I was like, sure, I can help you. And she just sent me through the footage, and every woman that was talking to the camera about how they felt before they worked with her were just so broken and so depressed and so depleted, and you could just tell they were just so overwhelmed and just not happy in their life but feeling trapped. And then the after was just free, happy, excited, just every possible happy emotion you could feel. You could just see that they were lighter. You could see in their eyes and their face that they'd got that spark back. And I just said to Maz, what is this?
Right.
I need this, whatever it is, I need it. And that's sort of how it happened. I had given up hope before that. I knew that the mainstream things out there that I knew had existed were not working, and I was just bouncing back and forwards to all the things. And I hadn't heard of this before, but I was just like, I want to feel like those women. I feel like the crying side, the crying version. I'm just falling apart, but I want to feel that, and I can see it's possible. And I trusted her. I don't think I would have done it if I didn't have that level of trust, because that was just so big for me. But I knew her, and I was just like, this is me. I want to feel like that. And that's how it happened. Wow. She was like, all right, let's do it.
Now, you're a relatively young woman. You're younger than me. How old are you, baby?
Almost 32.
Wow, you actually said that, brain's almost 32. That's like, don't rush it, okay? Just take your time. Say you're 31 and 3/4, okay? That's good. So there's other 25 to 31-year-old women out there that are struggling, but they think that it's like, almost like the transformation of adolescence. Oh, it's just a phase I'm going through. I'll get over it. He'll love me, or, you know, we'll never break up. I can get him to commit to me. Or I'm looking at myself and I'm looking at this body image and I'm 45 pounds overweight. Everyone's talking about me behind my back. I'm looking at all these great, you know, supermodels on Instagram. I see pretty girls like Stephanie. I don't match up. I'm not enough. What do you say to that young woman?
It depends if that's what they accept or if they want to change it. So you can only change if you don't accept that and want to change and can see that it's possible. So if that's how you are and that's how you feel and that just works for you, if that's working for you, then that's fine. But if that's not working for you and you want to be able to feel confident in who you are, and how you live and the choices that you make and showing up and accepting yourself fully, loving who you are, no matter what you see in the mirror, knowing you have value, knowing that you have high standards and that you don't need to settle, that you accept yourself fully and that anyone that comes into your life is only are going to be an add-on. They're not going to be something that you need to feel accepted. If that's the place that you want, where you want to actually heal and change that, then that's where you're ready for something new and that intervention to actually give that belief and acceptance to yourself as you are, with no external influence.
So I saw a few of the videos that you've produced on your Facebook page, and one of them was some snippets of a session that you had with one of your clients. And it seemed like it was miraculous. It was like she was stuttering, she was hemming and hawing and unsure of herself. And you gave her a series of questions to ask herself, and closing her eyes and doing some visualization and counting back on where she is on a scale of 1 to whatever. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like she had an aha moment. Does it really work? Is it that simplistic?
It's so simple. So it's just the right person. We've got to be at the right time, because not everyone's ready to own it and to move through it. But when a woman is ready and they're ready to own it and just they've had enough, it is so simple. The session is, you know, one issue is within, say, 90 minutes. You say that session, that was 90 minutes, where she can sit and feel not good enough. She did through the process, all it is I just facilitate women to get their inner wisdom out. That reprograms their mind to believe a different way, a better perspective, so that they can own how they feel and feel good enough, as worthy, all of the lessons that they need for themselves. And so as soon as they open their eyes, it is that reality has shifted and it's irreversible. So they know that to be true, just like they know their name. That is just their new reality. It's like we look through life with filters on, and they're seeing their life through those filters, which are not true. But they can't believe something different. Even if you try it as a friend to say, yes, of course you're good enough, you're an amazing person, that's just a conscious level. They really need to believe it within themselves, and that's what that process does. And it is so quick. It's so simple. It's really fun. It's got nothing to do with them, but it just does what it needs to in our minds as women to shift that belief, so they can believe that they are amazing, they are good enough, they are capable.
So you come home with this new perspective and this pink hair. What did your man say? How did he handle you?
Straight after, it was incredible, because I think for me, I always believed that change took a long time, because that was what I'd seen. And it only took me 2 sessions, and all of the things that I was dealing with and how I was feeling was resolved. And I have like an over analytical mind, so I couldn't believe it myself. And I was like, I was just saying to him, like, oh, maybe it will come back, right? Like, maybe I just feel good for now, and you know, it will come back, because you just think nothing can last that long. It's just, you know, this like honeymoon phase or something like that. But yeah, it shifted everything, and you know, our relationship has just been so healed by this stuff, because I had so many issues related to my past and my past baggage that I just brought in with me when I met him and just plonked it on him to deal with. And that's not fair. So I got to heal all my stuff, but also gave him and us a fresh start, because I got to heal that and resolve it, so that we were starting fresh and I could see him for him and not hold the grudges of men and past relationships that I'd had in the past against him now. So yeah, our relationship has flourished, and it is just, we're just so much more connected, and I'm just so much more aware of my emotions, and I'm not so overwhelmed, so I can actually be there. I'm actually present. I just wasn't present before. I was just so overwhelmed.
We had a conversation once upon a time about working with young women, you know, ages puberty, 13 to 19. They are at such a tender age. They are so impressionable. they are really struggling with their identity, with their sexuality, with their puberty, with the peer pressure, with their parents, yada, yada. And they got a lot of stuff running around in their brains. Do you think that this could be something that eventually you could really dial back and work with younger women so that they would have these type of tools in their arsenal to deal with as they go through the tween age into young adulthood? Because this is a struggle right then. You know, you're listening again to all the noise, and it's magnified at that point. You don't want to listen to your parents. That's the last people that you want to talk to. And it's not because they don't care. It is because they care, but you won't give them an opportunity. And for some strange reason, they think that your parents don't know nothing. You know, it's not like you haven't lived their life three or four times over. You've never had these things. There's a lot of women that don't share openly about their past hurts or their struggles with their daughters, which is, I think, is such a disservice. But everybody doesn't have that bandwidth. They don't have that capacity. Or maybe it's a choice. Maybe they don't know and have the tools to have those conversations. What would you say working with adolescents between 13 and 19? Are they too impressionable? Are they too vulnerable? Or would that be a good age to kind of start something like this or a program similar to this?
Yeah, I think so. Creatrix by itself, the process is very much more specific to 18 plus, because like you said, through that adolescence, that our hormones play a huge role, and our hormones are changing a lot through that time. So they're a lot more steady when we get to 18. So that's why 18 is sort of the cutoff for Creatrix, the minimum cutoff there. However, there is so much that women can learn about how we work and why we're wired a certain way and the female factor, because women process emotions so differently to men. Our minds and our bodies run a completely different system. And so just understanding that is a big deal. There's so much that it would help these girls to understand how they are, why they are, and what to do with that. Because knowledge is power. And also understanding that a belief that you have isn't the truth. And being able to get them at that age may be enough so that they don't even need Creatrix, that they
I have to stop you right there, because truth is a matter of perception. I had an opportunity to do an experiment with some individuals, and I realized that truth is totally based on your perception.
100%.
You know, like I might say your hair is pink and you go, oh no, it's fuchsia. Someone will say, oh, it's got a tinge of red. You know, someone might see it altogether as purple. It's what you want to believe. It's that conversation that you're having inside of your head. Let me ask you some fun, random questions.
Okay.
What planet are you from?
I think Earth, but overall just the universe.
Okay. If you were an animal, what kind of animal would you be and why?
Oh, I've always loved flamingos. I feel like I'm channeling that. I think that sort of quiet, peaceful elegance.
Okay. I get it. If you were a car, what kind of car would you be?
Oh, a car. Cadillac.
Oh, go on, luxury queen. I'd be a little Mini Cooper.
Oh,
maybe it would be tricked out. It'd be a European version. Okay, it'd be an original version from London. What type of music do you groove to?
I'm a mixed bag. I can go R&B if I know the words, or full-on country. I'm a mixed bag.
I love country music too. A lot of people don't like country. Tells a story.
Oh yeah, and it's so soulful and
It is. I like that. I really like that too. What's your favorite food?
Chocolate.
Chocolate is not a food.
Oh, damn it. I believe it's a food.
What brings you joy? What really makes you happy?
Other people's happiness. Like seeing people happy, laughing, free, there's nothing more. Like that is the epitome of life. Like I feel like we're just here to be joy, to have joy, collect moments of joy. So just happiness. Dogs are just there, you know. They just love you unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. What would you tell a 18-year-old Stephanie?
Oh, gosh. It gets better. Like, once you find who you are and forget about everyone else, that's just everything. From there, your world just opens up because your life only matters for you. And putting so much heightened sensitivity and awareness to what's going outside takes away from inside. You've got to be happy with you first, and then everything flows from there.
If you were to write a movie script, what would it be about? And who would you get to play in that movie? Who would be some of your characters?
I feel like it would probably be about beliefs and perceptions. So maybe like the labels that we put on ourselves and others being such a hindrance because they're not real. And then we feel like that we can't break free of it, sort of just showing that a belief or an opinion is not something that you need to hold as your truth. So something like maybe finding your truth for you or something like that. In relation to characters and things, I have no idea.
I would write a straight up comedy. Because you know what? It's a lot of trickery. It's a lot of jokes. Again, like you said, it's a lot of mixed perceptions. Who would I get to star in it? Kevin Hart?
Yes.
He would be funny. I don't know how this would go together, but I'd have someone like Lucille Ball. Because mm-hmm. she was a woman that was fearless. I mean, there's nothing you could tell her. Or Carol Burnett. Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. That you mm-hmm. saw had a comedic side, but also a very dramatic side. Mm. Writing a script, it's telling a story from beginning to end. I just watched a great movie before we came online here, and it really captured my attention because movies are much like life. It's a lot of twists and turns. It's a lot of characterization. It is a lot of fiction. It's made up. So when people write these stories and they tell themselves these stories and they watch it on film, they believe it. But what they have to do is come to the realization that that is not who you are, that it can change, that you can rewrite your script, that you can change the characters, that you don't have to be a victim of circumstance, that you can work with great people like Stephanie, that are young, that are free, that are able to give you choices, give you options, to let you be a flamingo with pink hair, to let you be a fast car driving in the slow lane. It's a lot of things that you can do, Brains. And I'm hearing that Creatrix is one of those things. I've had a lot of your sister transformologists. I see that you're just now opening up here in North America, which is huge. I want people to really tap into this. And I say this, I don't know, in a kind of arrogant, cocky kind of way, but my shit is straight. So I don't know. I don't know if I really need it. I'm sure I've got some underlying root causes that, you know, there's some weeds growing around. But for the most part, But for the most part, I get it. You know, I get it. And I've had a pretty charmed life. You know, this journey has been very good to me. I've had great parents, great relationships. You know, I handled the bullies. One, two, I was, you know, I wasn't going for that. I wasn't being punked around. That wasn't me. So it's different. But I have a lot of empathy for women that struggle, young women that struggle, because there is a lot to enjoy about life. Don't cheat yourself. You know, don't fall into this deep, dark hole of depression. Mm. That's a trick. That's a lie perpetrated by others, that outside noise, getting your validation from outside instead of really tapping into what's important to you on the inside, pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, you know, kicking your own self in the butt and saying, you know what, this is not right. Challenging yourself, setting goals, having dreams, having aspirations, with or without a partner. It's not contingent upon the other person. It's all about self. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for being here on The Edge with me. You have been a wealth of information and knowledge. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you and how to follow you on that gram. You're so cute. I love it.
Thank you so much. It's been fantastic. And yeah, like just summing that up there at the end, that's exactly what it's all about, isn't it? If anyone else wants to contact me or find out more about me or follow along with me on Instagram, I'm _thetrueyou_, Facebook, Meet the True You, and you'll be able to find then links to my YouTube and all of that sort of thing as well. I'm all over the place.
And we want you to get a sample of this, young women. Start early with your life. Don't wait till you get, you know, and have them kids, got grandkids, and now you figure out, oh, wow, now it's time for me to live my life. No, you can live your life early, you know?
I think that's the thing, you know, when women get to a certain age, they can then, these beliefs start to fall away where they go, oh, I've wasted my whole life worrying about what other people think. I'm not going to worry about that anymore. But they've carried that till they're 65. So they've had to live that whole way because they have had to have life all happen. So this, I feel like for women my age, we don't have to carry that the whole way through. We can enjoy, we can drop that and then enjoy all those years. And also everyone around us, when we heal ourselves, we heal everyone around us. So it ripples out. So if you're a mom and you've got three kids and you're overwhelmed and stressed and triggered every day, they're not getting the best of you. But if you are healed and happy and content and feel capable, then you're going to be the best mom you can possibly be. And that ripples out to those kids because you're there for them. And it just, every woman that heals themselves heals the planet.
And Braze, don't think just because you're 65 that you can't learn from someone that's 35.
Yeah.
There's old souls in young bodies. There's a lot of wisdom. You got to figure out what's happening now. What was happening 30 years ago is not happening now. This is a new world order. Whether you want to believe it or accept it, it's happening right in front of you. So you better get on board. Or as you say, you better get online or you'll get left behind. Thanks so much, Stephanie, for being here on The Edge. Brains, I need you to go in, like, love, share, subscribe. Get involved. Check out Creatrix on a deep level. At least have a conversation, a consultation. Again, I may have to call you up, Stephanie, because, you know, I was taunting 1 minute and, you know, there might be some shit to surface in about 30 seconds. You never know.
Oh, that's
I might need a moment with you. Have a breakthrough. But thank you so much again.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, Braze, get it together. 2022 is waiting for you. We'll be right back.